of Ways and Means to order, and we will await the arrival of the rest of our members.
Yes. As you know, you may start a subcommittee of the subcommittee for informational purposes.
Okay. Except I want these guys to get the information, so thank you. Subcommittee of the subcommittee.
Just to complicate matters, so for taking information.
All right.
But you cannot take action.
Thank you. Dallas has agreed to help guide me through the process. This is my first chairmanship, so I'm...
Why don't you start calling a couple of legislators' offices?
Round them up.
And start the process.
Call to order and then abandon her.
Good morning, Ms. McCulling.
Good morning. How are you this morning?
Fine, thank you.
Beautiful day today.
It is, in fact. No, I'd like to, just for the orientation, a long session, not today, you mean like, my personal belief is that as Good morning. We have already gaveled in. The committee starts at 8:30, and so we gaveled in and took a small break to go hunt for missing members.
And I was found wandering around the hall.
Senator Morris is excused today, and we have left messages with Representative Krupp's office and Representative Smith's office reminding them of the meeting. I am very pleased to welcome everybody to the orientation meeting of the Committee on the General Government Subcommittee. And today will be a short meeting. I'd like to be out of here by 9:15. I'd like to start with staff introductions and begin, if you don't mind, Anne-Marie, with you. If you could introduce yourself to the committee and tell us just a little bit about your service here in the legislature.
My name is Anne-Marie Housley. Salem and I'm LFO and thrilled to be here.
Thank you very much. And she bought brownies this morning, which is an auspicious start. So please help yourself to brownies. And Dallas Wine, who is going to be our LFO staff. Dallas?
Madam Chair, Dallas Wine with the Legislative Fiscal Office. I'm the scheduler for this. I've been with the office, Legislative Fiscal Office, now for seven years. My background is public accounting and auditing. Hired here to help out with the Joint Legislative Audit Committee and budgets. You're going to see a lot of me in this subcommittee because I have, with the exception of one agency, all my agencies are in this committee because I handle administrative agencies. So you're going to see a lot of me.
And Dallas's background is also, he's a CPA, so he knows budgets very well. As a courtesy to our friends from Budget and Management who came today, Cora, would you mind introducing yourselves? I think we're going to see a lot of you in this committee as well.
Yes, Cora Parker from the Budget and Management Division of the Department of Administrative Services. I have the Department of Administrative Services as an agency, as well as the Public Employees Retirement System as an agency. So this is where
I'm Shubhadia with the Budget and Management Division. I have several agencies in front of you, Government Standards and Practices Commission, Employment Relations Board, Board of Accountancy, Board of Tax Practitioners, and the Oregon Advocacy Commission's offices.
Thank you.
And I'm Kelly Krills, also from Budget and Management. Unlike Satish, I'll only have one agency here, the Governor's Office.
Oh. Thank you.
That's the one we want.
Thank you very much for being here this morning.
Madam Chair, may I ask?
Senator Morissette.
Thank you. Department of Administrative Services, under that, do we cover, tell me about that area. That's one of ours.
I think if you wouldn't mind holding your question for just a second, Dallas is going to walk through all this material. Making a couple of introductory remarks, and then I'm going to turn it over to Dallas, and he'll walk you through the whole thing.
Thank you.
It is my opinion that we are all privileged to serve on Ways and Means. The committee is going to start on time at 8:30 out of respect for the public that's here, out of respect for the other professionals that are here. And so I would respectfully like to ask everyone to be here on time, and particularly I think there will be not much tolerance to do review material for latecomers. In honor of Representative Butler, I served on this committee the last two sessions under his very able gavel, and in honor of Representative Butler, I am going to exercise the prerogative of the chair and declare this an acronym-free zone. Representative Butler had a small plastic porcine bank on the desk, and as soon as I have a chance to go out and buy one, it will return. Acronyms cost a quarter apiece. The beneficiary is the Oregon branch of the American Cancer Society. Representative Butler did that in honor of his wife, who is a cancer survivor. I think many of our families have been touched by cancer, and so in honor of Representative Butler, I'm going to continue his tradition.
I'm sure there's no immunity for folks sitting at the dock.
Absolutely none. Believe me, I know I plugged a lot of quarters into Representative Butler's pick. We will have a schedule that Dallas is going to go over, and I would like us to be able to stay on that schedule. The co-chairs have set a certain schedule that they would like us to adhere to, and I don't want this subcommittee to be responsible for dragging down the rest of an aggressive schedule. The committee will at later have public testimony, and I would ask the members to be respectful of the public. It will be my preference to allow the public an opportunity to testify, often ahead of the professional staff, particularly if they've come from distance. And so with everyone's indulgence, I'd like to make that a practice of this committee. We will have a number of agency people through here, and again, following on a tradition of Representative Butler, I would ask that the committee treat the professional folks from the agencies respectfully. They're here doing their job. We're trying to do ours, and we can conduct it professionally and appropriately. I'm going to ask that we stay focused on budget policy issues. There is a temptation to delve into trying to micromanage the agencies from this position, and I think in order to keep with the schedule that the co-chairs have set, that we'll need to stay at a high policy level, and Dallas will help keep me from delving into micromanagement, as I am wont to do sometimes. And last but not least, there will be a giant volume of material. It is overwhelming how much material comes the way of the Ways and Means folks. And I would ask, at the request of the co-chairs and myself as chair, that we all review the material and come prepared to work off the material as it's presented. The staff at LFO does an extraordinary job of having the material in front of all of us, and it's a large volume, and it requires some homework. So if everyone would come prepared, that would be great. And with those remarks, I'm going to ask for any questions. Hearing none, Dallas, would you walk us through the material that you have at our places?
Madam Chair, members of the committee, you have before you a memo from me. I'll go over it a little bit, just in order. Again, the meeting started at 8:30. If you're not able to attend, if you called our scheduler, please, the phone number is on there, and let us know that you won't be here. It would be appreciated. Otherwise, we'll be trying to contact you. The Joint Committee on Ways and Means rules apply, and you have a copy there. A quorum consists of two members of the Senate and two members of the House. So we can convene a subcommittee of the subcommittee for purposes of taking testimony, but no action can be taken lacking a quorum. And a quorum will be two Senate members and two House members. Coffee will be provided. A carafe will be provided each day by the Legislative Assembly. It's out of their budget. But that will begin this coming Monday on the 31st. Again, we ask everyone to please turn off pagers and the like, beepers, phones in the committee room. And the microphones in this room, unlike hearing room F, are not very sensitive. So to help with our record keeping, if you could please speak into the microphone. Some people have a tendency to lean back, but it would help. Also, for we have to remind people coming to the table also. We will post the daily agenda every week. You'll get a schedule, and a sample of it for next week is in your materials. So all of next week we'll have public hearings on the Department of Administrative Services budget. In advance of a question from Senator Morris, that department has a number of divisions and provides myriad of services to various to state agencies. And so we will be covering things within that department, like the Budget Management Division, Information Resources Management Division, the motor pool for the state, payroll system. It handles the state's accounting systems, the human resource services. There are state's personnel offices. So a great number of functions are performed by that office. One of the reasons it will be up first is because it is funded by other agencies paying for its services, either through assessments or through fee for service. And one of the functions, that's why it's up first in this agency, because any modifications to the department's budget will be reflected then in adjustments to other agency budgets to reflect those changes in assessments and all that. Co-chairs, and it's always been of interest to members because of what they've heard from other agencies, the impact of those assessments on their operating budgets. So it's a jumping off agency, and we'll schedule for 4 days during the phase one, which is an overview and the like, and there will be more time then in phase two.
May I?
Senator Morissette.
Yes. Are those all of the departments under DAS or the agencies? Are there others?
The divisions within the Department of Administrative Services, they will go over them.
We're going to do that?
Yes, today. They will present, not today, but on Monday. On Monday they will begin. But there is the risk management function.
If you could just give me a complete list of all of the departments and agencies under DAS, I would appreciate it.
All of the divisions?
Well, that we're going to be dealing with.
We're going to be dealing with that, yes. And the next thing on your list is a list of the agencies whose budgets we will be
Okay,
reviewing.
Maybe that's what I need.
So you'll know, that may be the question. You want to know which agencies you're going to be reviewing it
first?
So the schedule looks like this.
Okay.
So these are all the agency budgets that we will be reviewing.
Okay. Thank you. Well, I can talk with you later about it if I have any other questions. Thank you.
So I will be passing around to your offices in advance of what we'll be doing next week. You can look forward to that on Fridays. I'm giving it to you today so that you'll know and have the opportunity to. We have you have a list of the agencies and the budgets. There will be other things I'll get into a little bit later, but other than budget bills, we'll also be assigned to this committee. Some already have agency fee bills, but then later on some other items will be brought forward to this. Again, I have listed in my memo the departments whose budgets will be reviewed here. The presentation materials, agencies have to give them to us in advance. So either this afternoon or tomorrow, I'm probably going to do it this afternoon, I will distribute to each of your offices the agency presentation binder for the Department of Administrative Services, which we will begin hearing next week. Also, I will deliver to your offices, so you don't have to worry about it here and carry it around, a copy of their priority lists that the co-chairs have requested, as well as their 10% reductions list that is required by law. You will have those at your offices this afternoon, if you'd like to. Question.
Senator Marcet.
What about the performance goals? Is that part of the...
Madam Chair, Senator Morset, members of the committee, absolutely. This first phase, it will be a review of the department's performance measures and their outcomes.
Okay.
At your place, and we can hand them out now if you would like, which is a binder. We have them here for each member, a list showing the benchmarks for the tie for each agency that's going to be in this subcommittee through their performance measures.
I would like.
Let's go ahead and distribute those.
Okay, Anne Marie, if we could. And those are we will be using throughout the agency performance
good,
measures.
Good. That's
a key responsibility of each of the subcommittees. We will make up labels with your names on them, so in case they get misplaced or something, everyone will know. And we should put their names and the subcommittee name and hearing room number in case they.
And Dallas, is it going to be practiced as it has in the past if members leave the binders here? They're on these shelves behind us. They'll have your name on it so you don't, as the binders begin to build through the session, lugging them around might not prove as pleasant as leaving them here and you can come and visit them.
And Madam Chair, for those of you that want to take the binders with you, please feel free to do so, but also please bring them back the next day because... These are the only binders we
have.
Senator Morset.
Thank you. But obviously, the homework, the material we're going to get in advance, we'll have a chance to look at, and then they will be put in the binders if we want to put them in there. But some things we're going to have to pack around for us to study.
Yes,
another
sir.
Thing, but when we're finished, we can leave them here, is the idea.
That is correct.
Yeah, good. That makes sense.
That is correct. And the materials that agencies bring forward, we instruct them to have them already pre-punched, three-hole punched, so that they can be inserted into the binders for your for convenience sake. And as the chair said, they will get thick. And
when you three-hole punch them, be sure that
they're lined up right.
Yeah. Well, when you put them in, particularly, see, there's one that's upside down. Now, all of the others are right side up. This was the first one that we got, and it's kind of nice to be able to put them in this way and look at them.
We will make every effort to get that straight, sir.
Please continue.
Sometimes we have to prove we're human and make mistakes.
Oh, yeah. Well, it was interesting because the first one that I put in was the only one like that. All the others you were able to flip them over.
And try to do it
that way. Good. Thank you.
So the first phase is all public hearings. Second phase, for the schedule, is we'll go into more detail on the budget and then the work sessions, we hope. Again, there is a schedule for the first phase posted on our website, and I think it was handed out in full committee also. I'm not sure of that, however. The work session process is described in the guidelines that have been posted. We also have handed out ways and means presentation guidelines that co-chairs have. Nothing can come out of here without a majority of both sides of the rules, and the practices go from subcommittee to full, and from full to the respective floor. In this case, for example, Department of Administrative Services, the bill is introduced on the Senate side. Mm-hmm. Last session, it was introduced on the House side with 10-foot flag. So it'll be first heard then coming out of Ways and Means on the Senate floor. As you're aware, I think they informed you of the rules. There won't be subsequent referral to subcommittee unless the co-chairs feel that additional work needs to be done between because of something that has arisen after hearing on the floor. Otherwise, you won't see it again once it leaves the subcommittee and the floor.
Senator Morissette.
A majority of both sides, not a majority of the committee.
That is correct.
Yeah.
I believe that's the rules. It's a majority of both houses.
Yeah, this is my first time on Ways and Means.
One other thing that I might add for the benefit of members that are new on Ways and Means, it is extremely helpful that if you are asked to carry a bill out of here to your chamber, the LFO staff will be with you on the floor and available for questions, given the sometimes very detailed nature of the questions.
If I may add on that.
Please don't.
It's our practice also to write your script for you and give it to you in advance. Hopefully, we call them ponies.
Yeah.
And we provide that for you, and we will.
We're the dogs and you're the ponies, right?
No, sir. You're the carrier of the pony.
Okay.
It's actually a term that's set in legislative history. Someone's done a review on it.
Bobby the dog and pony show. Yeah. It's got to be.
Welcome, Representative Smith.
I apologize for being late. The House side is reorganized.
One of the documents that comes out of this committee, this subcommittee, is a budget report. That's the Ways and Means substitution, or in lieu of, what is that term? Staff measure summary. Mm-hmm. So the budget report takes that, plays that function for budget bills. And there's a lot of detail in that, and it's signed by the subcommittee chair using the co-chairs. There's a practice of getting an agency's attention through the use of what are called budget notes. They do not have the force of law, but they tend to reinforce legislative or discussion or expectations maybe out of an agency going forward. Budget notes are taken very seriously, and they may be included in the budget report if essential to clarify and expand on administrative requirements directly related to the budget. We cannot put policy things in a budget note. Proposed budget notes must be channeled through the subcommittee chair, if you want one, and then they have to be approved by the co-chairs before their inclusion. And that's how important they are. Agencies take them very seriously and try to abide by them. Again, they don't have the force of law, but they are taken very seriously, and as a result, there's a very deliberative approach to the development and use of budget notes.
May I?
Senator Morissette.
A comment by one of the co-chairs was that he hoped that there would not be budget notes this time, or very few. What could you respond to that comment, or what is there? Are we urged not to develop budget notes? Is that the
Madam Chair, members of the committee? I'm not privy to the conversation, but my belief is that they have been perceived, and I think with good reason, to be used excessively in the past for various reasons that weren't consistent. There was no common rationale or theme, and they were just put in willy-nilly. But again, they're taken very seriously, and quite often they're saying, well, shall report to the emergency board or something. And the end result has been just a ton of reports coming down from agencies or subsequent appearances that after the dust settled, nobody it's been a non-issue. So I think they want to be, they're not, I don't believe they want discouraged as much as be very judicious in their in the use of them.
And the only thing that I might add, just from the perspective of the chair, is I think in times past there was an effort to try to insinuate policy into some of the budget notes. And the co-chairs, particularly co-chair Schrader, was not very receptive to those policy-laden budget notes.
So may I,
Senator Morsett?
I imagine that you as chair will guide us. And,
I'll do the very best I can,
well,
Senator.
his statement sounded like he definitely wanted to discourage budget notes. And he said the fewer the better and so on. And but I think that the discussion we have in this committee will allow you to give us some further guidance as to whether or not they're appropriate and so on.
I intend to stay in very close contact with the co-chairs, and ultimately they're the final arbiter of whether or not a budget note will be included. So I would make the commitment to the committee that should someone have an interest in moving a budget note forward, I will take a serious look at it, carry it to the co-chairs, and their decision will be okay. Dispositive.
And with that, if I may, Madam Chair, as a joint committee, we can't bring anything forward to the subcommittee that hasn't been assigned by the co-chair. So it takes both of the co-chairs' initials to assign a bill to the subcommittee to approve the budget notes and the like. In addition to the budgets, and I've given you a summary of the dollars and FTE of the agencies that we'll be reviewing, but you know, that's the primary function here is the budgets of these agencies that have been listed. In addition, though, there will be a request for supplemental funding, supplemental for this biennium, 0305, for the Department of Revenue. They've come to the emergency board twice. It's been in the media a bit. They were provided some other funds out of anticipated cigarette tax receipts that haven't materialized, and so they will be coming forward in fairly early on with a request for supplemental funding. This was established and brought forward through the emergency board. How much is about $6.3 million was what they and they have identified a source of that fund, so it won't go to ending balance. It won't come out of the ending balance. There also will be, we expect also a request for additional limitation from the Department of Administrative Services for investment in the Consolidated Data Center. We have the emergency board has approved the construction of the facility, but they're expecting to come forward with a request for additional limitation. I think it'll be funded through the issuance of certificates of participation for other investments that will be needed to start up the facility. And that's well underway, and so you'll be hearing that request also. I believe the co-chairs have discussed assigning a blank bill. We have, in the Ways and Means, bills assigned to us that are essentially relating to the financial affairs of state, if you will, and they're blank. Was it an appropriation language so that we can use them for these sorts of purposes? So this committee will probably have a bill like that early on during this phase one. So you will probably be most likely working a bill out during phase one.
Dallas, before we move on, mm-hmm. given that there are new members here, I'm going to ask you, there are some acronyms in here. Would you take this spreadsheet that you prepared and just walk through what the acronyms are so that our new members can follow along?
I have three major columns for 2001-03 actual. Those are the actual, and underneath that, and then there's a legislatively approved and governor's recommended budget. Underneath that is a column that says GF and LF. GF is the acronym for the abbreviation for general fund, and LF lottery funds. You'll see that a lot. General fund and lottery fund are somewhat considered fungible or interchangeable, and these are the discretionary monies that get most of the media play.
And so if you wouldn't mind, just walk across the top sure. line for the Department of Administrative
sure.
Services.
The Department of Administrative Services for 2001-03, this is in millions. For that biennium, their actual budget was $3.47 million, or $3,470,000 of general and lottery funds. their total budget, including all funds, it's principally other funds, these are other than general and lottery funds, $533.2 million. $533,200,000. And FTE is the full-time equivalent of positions. It may be more positions. If a position is half time or 20 hours a week, it would be a one position, but 0.50 FTE. And an FTE is for a full biennium. So if a position is scheduled to come on, say, January 1 of a say next year, that would be a 0.75 FTE because it would be three quarters of a biennium coverage. Then across then for 2003 and 05, the legislatively approved budget. Legislatively approved means it's after session. When we finish session, what comes out of the legislature is what's called the legislatively adopted budget. It's adopted during session. Adjustments are made to that budget by the emergency board or through special sessions. Those changes then, for purposes of understanding the difference, we then refer to the existing budget after any changes as the legislatively approved budget. So legislatively adopted is the budget that comes right out at sine die. Legislatively approved is the ongoing budget that reflects any changes that were made subsequent to that legislative session. So for 2003-05, for the Department of Administrative Services, you see the general fund and lottery fund was $3.15 million. Total budget, though, it was $755 million. And their FTE, or full-time equivalent positions, were 898.23.
Quick question, Madam Chair.
Representative,
help me here. Why would there be a discrepancy between what's reported here and the numbers that I took directly out of the governor's bound budget book?
I can explain that, Chair and members of the committee. The governor's bound budget had a cutoff of April, and it was the legislatively approved at that time, whereas for what we have put together for your purposes and for our analysis, we've updated it for actions that occurred after that. So you will see differences between the legislatively approved that we will present to you and that in the governor's budget because of timing.
Thank you. Thank you.
Madam Chair.
Representative Bilbacchian.
Looking at the columns for general fund, lottery fund, and total, you take the total, subtract from it the general fund, lottery fund, and then that represents what the other fund would be. Is that correct?
That is correct. It would be a combination of other funds and federal funds.
Okay. And at some point, is there something that breaks down, for instance, in the one column of general fund and lottery fund, how much is attributable to each?
Madam Chair, members of the committee, yes, you will see it in our analysis of the governor's budget. If you'll go to that, you'll see for the Department of Administrative Services, each section, each division, or each program within it, you'll see its portion of the budget. So it's general fund, it's other fund, it's federal fund. Again, that document you should have it. It's a thick document, and it's a very detailed explanation of what's in the governor's recommended budget.
Brown cover, and it has an executive summary that accompanies it.
Yes, and you will also see that in the presentations. They'll cover it and they'll break it out also. Then getting to what's in the governor's recommended budget, I've used abbreviations here. There's 9.63 million of general fund, 923 million of other fund, total budget, and 875.03 full-time equivalent positions. That's governor's recommended budget. Generally, what comes out of session is different from governor's recommended budget. I can assure you.
given the precipitous jump between general fund and lottery of 3 to 9, that would be further discussion for the committee when we get underway.
It's an easily identified difference, and we'll be discussing it during the budget hearings.
Representative Smith.
Thank you. And if I'm jumping ahead, just please pull me back in. When I'm looking at the list of administration programs, I don't see the state library in there.
Yes. Madam Chair, members of the committee, there are two agencies I believe, that are in administration that aren't in this subcommittee. One is the State Library. It's in Education Subcommittee. The other is the Oregon Liquor Control Commission. That's been moved to the Transportation and Economic Development Committee.
Senator Morissette.
Is that?
So those two, which are in the administration program, have been moved. Also the Racing Commission, for whatever purposes, has been included in administrative agencies for in a program area within the budget, but that also has been moved to Transportation and Economic Development.
Senator Morissette.
Thank you. So was OLCC in this subcommittee at one time?
It was before,
it was,
yes.
Okay, that was one of the questions.
And the co-chairs felt appropriate to move it into the Economic Development, Transportation and Economic Development Committee.
For some reason.
Yeah.
Okay. Thank you.
We also have, you know, not just the administrative program, but the legislative program. All the legislative agencies' budgets come through this committee. And certain of consumer and business services. These are the boards of accountancy, board of tax practitioners, and the construction contractors board. So this agency gets some of three different programs.
Nice.
Senator Morissette.
Thank you. Out of curiosity, where is OROSHA? What subcommittee is that in?
I believe that's with the department. It's a division of the Department of Consumer and Business Services, and that is in Transportation and Economic Development Committee. Representative Smith, chair of that subcommittee.
I think all three of us serve on that.
Yeah, you get to do. You folks are going to be busy. You're in subcommittee in the morning and in the afternoon. After a while, you're going to have a lot of volunteers.
Okay.
That's kind of an overview of, again, I'm your scheduler. I'll be working with the subcommittee chair and the co-chairs to try to schedule it out so that we divide the time to accomplish what needs to be done. Work with you. I'll be in here, like I said, you're going to see a lot of me. In fact, starting Monday, I'll be here for 3+ weeks, I think. 3 weeks in a row plus into the following year, as will Ms. Parker. And then you'll see Cora is, I have the Department of Administrative Services. I also have the Public Employees Retirement System. So you're going to see a lot of
them. Madam Chair, I have a couple of process questions.
Representative Avakian.
One is, as I understand, it sounds like you'll get budgets out to us like a week before or some few days before we'll have a hearing from presentation by a particular agency.
The presentation documents, yes.
And then will we be taking action on a particular agency before we move on to the next agency? Or do we wait until we've heard all the agencies and then go back and take actions on each?
We believe the phase one, there won't be any action except for, as I mentioned, the supplemental budget. In phase two, I think the intention is to move them out as you can. Work them and move them out. So you will probably hear from most of the agencies during phase one. And then during phase two, it's a process, hopefully, of taking them one at a time, working them, and moving them, if it's possible, and with the co-chair's approval.
Then my last question is, if we want more specific information from an agency or from an individual, Madam Chair, how would you like for us to do that? Would you like for us to go through you in getting that information?
Yes, please. I think that the co-chairs have articulated their interest in having a very structured approach to agencies so that we're not asking agencies to prepare a lot of material. So the way that I would prefer that it happen is that it come through me as the chair here, and I will then take it to the co-chairs, and they will interact with the agency to get the appropriate information. The other thing that was a courtesy when I was a member of this committee, and I intend as chair to carry it on, is if one member makes a request for information, that it would be available to the entire committee. Good.
Thank you.
Well, if there are no other questions, then this morning was simply an orientation, a chance to meet the staff and to get the schedule and our first binders to begin work on. I thank everybody for coming, and we will return here at 8:30 on Monday morning. Absent any questions, I'm going to declare the meeting adjourned. Thank you.
And again, this afternoon, you'll have the presentation by the Department of Administrative Services at your office.